So to remind you all that I love you, I appreciate you all. As I sat there and waited patiently for all of us to get done partaking of the Lord's Supper, it seemed like it took quite a while. And that's a great thing. It's a great thing to have that many people remembering how great and what a Savior we have. Our lesson this morning is titled The Love of God. And obviously, they came from me reading through the New Testament and coming to this passage in Titus. But when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, when we think of God's love, I ask us this morning, obviously we think about Jesus, who is our Savior that appeared towards us. Obviously this time of the year, people focus on that a little bit more. But to remember the world's concept of God's love and God's love are two different things. And we, as God's children, struggle. So, when I think of myself as a child of God, and how do I be able to show love? How am I able to understand the love of God and how He has created us and what He expects of us? We talked in this morning in Bible class, we're talking about how the love of God helped continue to fulfill His promises to mankind and to Abraham and to those people. But God's love and His promises are just as strong today as they were the first time He spoke them thousands of years ago. We talk again about how I can't impress upon us enough that we are no smarter today just because we have electronic devices and we can commute and see things instantaneously than those folks that lived at the beginning of time. Because back then, they still had issues with being subject to the rulers and authorities. They still had issues with being able to be ready for every good work. They still had issues with speaking evil of no one, and to live peaceable and gentle and showing all humility to all men. As this was written a couple thousand years ago, obviously we have instances in the New Testament that are very similar. How many of us feel loved by God? Thank you, brothers. Thank you. I normally don't get hand raising. We got some hand raising this morning. I appreciate that. And it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. It's because He's gifted us. And we recognize the blessing and His favor upon our lives. As we continue to look at God's holy word, Jesus is mentioned God's love in a couple passages. And this is one of them in Luke 11. And as He spoke, a certain Pharisee asked Him to dine with him. So He went in and sat down. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not He who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Obviously, this morning I have highlighted passed by justice and the love of God. Jesus mentions this specifically. This wasn't to the world. These were the most religious people at this time. These were God's leaders of his people. These weren't the heathens, the kings that were to be killed. These were God's people. And God had to come down to earth to explain his love. Because even at this time, they thought loving God meant giving things. Outward appearances. My mother always said, your actions speak louder than your words, son. And I hated that when she said that, because I knew she was trying to convict me of something, you know. But if not, maybe Jesus is saying this here. Your heart is what I want, not your actions. The actions are going to follow after your heart's right. Don't pass by justice and the love of God. Make sure your heart is right first. The outside stuff's going to come. I've also heard a preacher for years, he said, fake it till you make it. Which means do all the outside stuff, which isn't bad. But unless you include the justice and the love of God in your heart, unless you make a change in your heart, that commitment to follow Jesus, you can do all the outward appearances just fine. Pass by justice and the love of God. You know, all the time, the world just wants to talk about the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. They want to bypass justice. Here, Jesus includes both of them together. He that believeth and is baptized, it's together. Justice and the love of God, together. These things you've ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Folks, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, it is best for us to make sure that we do these things without leaving the others undone. Jesus speaks and is written in John, but I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which my Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you. Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Jesus is speaking to people that are Jews. Jesus is speaking to the people of God. It's easy for us to apply this passage to heathens and those people that aren't in Christ. But it doesn't. Jesus is saying, hey, you guys are supposed to be my people. You guys are supposed to be showing the world my love. But you're not. I plead with us this morning that Jesus says, you are my people. I want you to be showing the world my love. And I plead with us to do that. To make sure that we do have the love of God in our hearts. That we love each other above and beyond all the things that God's given us and blessed us with. Things aren't bad. Enjoying the life God has given us, you know, look at history. God blessed people throughout all history with physical things and spiritual things. He's promised us all blessings in Christ. Heavenly blessings. But folks, has not God blessed us all here? Tremendously. Tremendously. That should inspire us to make sure that our hearts are right with God and we have the love of God in our hearts. It's in us. It's in us. Nobody else is going to see the love of God unless... See, here's what it says. You search the scriptures and you think that you have eternal life. I know what God's word says. That's exactly what the Pharisees said. We know what the law and prophets said. But yet it didn't work on their hearts. They still had hard hearts. That's why God's plan was for Jesus to come to say, I'm opening your hearts. I want to show you what the love of God really is by the way Jesus lived and talked and treated other people. If we were to go by how each of us want to treat each other sometimes, or how the world wants us to treat each other, we need to look to Jesus to know how we should be treating each other. How the true love of God is. In Romans chapter 5, it is written, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I go back to the beginning of the lesson when I asked you how many of you think you got the love of God and feel the love of God, and boy, we had this bunch of hands went up. Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. I know that old song, I've got trials and tribulations. Woe is me. But to persevere. I don't know about you folks, but tribulations, perseverance, character, and hope. If you'd asked me 30 years ago, I'd say, I don't want no tribulations before I became a Christian. Okay? Persevere. Persevere what? If I don't have no tribulations, then I don't have to persevere, so I don't want no tribulations. And I really don't care about my character. I am who I am. Accept me or leave me. But because the love of God has been poured out into my heart, I know the tribulations are going to produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. The things that God wants me to have in my life. The things that God and Jesus want us to have in our lives. If God wants us to produce perseverance, what does Satan want us to do? Give up, right? Give up. Give up. What are some of the things people give up on most today in our culture? We think of it's today deal, but we thought what? Marriage? People give up on marriage. Right? People go bankrupt, give up on their commitments. We talked about commitments this morning. You know, commitments and you know, making payments. Whatever it is. You know, we have financial issues. Persevere with maybe a workplace issue, relationships that aren't in a marriage relationship, friendships. Persevere. I'm not friends with him anymore. I don't have to work for him anymore. Sometimes we don't have a choice. We're removed from those situations to be able to persevere. What about physical? How many of us have to persevere as we get older? Can't do quite what we used to be able to do. God's holy word says, this is the neat thing about the love of God. I don't have to be the athlete and physically fit person I was when I was in my 20s. To share the love of God, to receive the love of God, to understand the love of God. The world thinks you have to be a certain way. Tells us love means this. This is love. God says not so. Typically, when we're in tribulations and we're in perseverance and our character is being tested, we don't feel love too much. I don't know about you, but then there are times when I don't feel love. Those are the exact times that we need to have hope in our lives and turn to God. Because we've been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Because His love has been poured out in our hearts. And having the confidence in that, that's the right thing. That's the right thing to do. Second Thessalonians, it is written, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." How does God direct our hearts into His love and into the patience of Christ? I talked a couple weeks ago about putting that finger in the holster. Now, I thought about that. I listened to my lesson. I talked about giving the finger to people, and I thought on the lesson, if you're not here, you don't know which one I'm talking about. Okay, but the pointing finger, okay, in the holster. In the holster. It's a way of directing our hearts into the love of God. There's many things we can do to direct our hearts in the love of God. Remember Jesus' words. Remember Jesus' example. Remember Jesus' sacrifice. Remember when Jesus became in times of temptation and trial, He said, "It is written." Folks, and if we don't know what is written, we can't respond to the devil. We can't defeat the devil. We can't say no to sin. What happens is we say, "Oh, look at that person's sin, not mine." We pull that back out of the holster. We redirect sin in the focus. Instead of saying, "God, I want the love of God in my heart. I open my heart. I repent. I'm following Jesus." The Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. 1 John, it is written, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation of our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Folks, there's nothing more joyous, more comforting, more peaceful than to recognize God's love working in our hearts. To have grace and mercy and peace being shown in your actions and in your thoughts and your minds. To be able to forgive someone when you're upset. To be able to hold your peace when you want to retaliate in your life. These are the times that the love of God is perfected in our lives. How many times do you think Jesus wanted to pull his finger out of his holster? But he didn't. He said, "I love you. I forgive you. Please follow me." And that's how the same way we should be. I love you. I forgive you. The love of God should be proclaimed upon our lives and in our lives and in our hearts. It's the best thing for us. Truly, the love of God is perfected in Him. Let's make that one of the things that we relish in our lives, is recognizing the comfort and being confident that His Spirit is guiding us and directing our hearts into His love. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Last week, we talked a little bit about love in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians and what love is. But folks, the love of God was manifested towards us without prejudice, without selection. His grace, His mercy, His being, His power, His providence, the things He's promised us, for us to continue in being the example and to show the world the true love of God. Are we selective on who we share our love with? Do we only love people like us? Do we only love people that love us? Do we only love people of like faith? Do we only love people that are closest to us? Do we only love people that drive what we drive? That like the politicians we like? That, you know, I mean, I just go on and on and on, folks. We need to make sure that we are guided in our hearts, are found the love of Christ. We can enjoy this life and a lot of the things that are in it, but we don't want this life to start directing our hearts, to start guiding us in a way that is not in the love of God. The love that's manifest in our lives should be an example of Christ. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot Him also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and when we love God and keep His commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Folks, the world wants us to believe that you can have the love of God and not keep His commandments. That you can truly have the love of God and not obey God. That's not true. I'll tell you this, you can have a love like God, maybe. The love of God that we keep His commandments. Well, we just got to love everybody. Well, that's right. We have to love everybody, but we don't have to love the sin and the error, folks. And that's a tough thing to differentiate. Is that a word I just made up, or is that a real word? Huh? That's a real word, okay. Real word, my wife says. But folks, that's tough to do. I want the love of God in my heart, and I want to be kind and loving to everybody. But yet these people profess to know Jesus, but they don't follow him. Or they strictly contradict something. Or make sin to be acceptable. And we can't do that. Jesus didn't accept that sin. Jesus came to show us the true love of God, that we keep his commandments. Last passage this morning, these are grumblers from Jude. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which are spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's our closing passage this morning, folks. The love of God, the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared in the form of Jesus and our Savior. Don't pass by justice and the love of God in your life. Have a love of God in you. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us that we might live through him. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And but you, beloved, build yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If you haven't put your heart in the hands of Jesus, if you haven't committed your life to Christ, we invite you to do so this morning. If you need the love of God in any other way, in the prayers of the congregation, we also invite you to do that as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.